Hey folks, Bruce Holding with CTE Outdoor Power. Is this your time for a new zero-turn riding mower? If so, stop by CTE today and check out Hustler Mowers, who over 50 years ago introduced the very first zero-turn riding mower, and today is one of America's top brands for several reasons. First, best quality. From the ginormous 104-inch industrial model down to the smallest 36-inch homeowner model, Hustler builds commercial-grade heavy-duty construction into every unit. Secondly, best warranty. Hustler backs up their best quality boast with warranties up to 5 years. And finally, best value. CTE has Hustler ZTRs on sale starting at only $27.99 and offers 0% interest financing for 48 months. And if you're military, you can get up to a 10% discount. So, if it's your time for a new ZTR, come see us today. CTE Outdoor Power, I-85 at Pier Hill Road and CTEOutdoorPower.com, where for 20 years we support what we sell.
Jones Brothers is so much more than roofs. Improving the look and energy efficiency of your home is easier than you think. New windows from Jones Brothers are not only beautiful, but can save you real money. Vinyl siding is a great way to update the look of your home and save on your energy bills. With Cedar Ridge composite siding from Jones Brothers, your home will be 4 times more insulated than with ordinary siding. Call Jones Brothers today for a free estimate. Call Jones Brothers. You'll be glad you did.
Hey guys, Baron Coleman here for my friends over at 4 Healthy Pets. 4 Healthy Pets is the River Region's home for healthy pet foods and supplies, and it's a refreshing alternative to that big box store experience. Instead, 4 Healthy Pets offers high-quality products that include premium kibbles and canned foods. 4 Healthy Pets strives to find products made and sourced right here in the USA. 4 Healthy Pets is located on the Atlanta Highway, just up the hill from Faulkner University, in the HealthWise Foods Shopping Center. If you have any questions, you can check them out online, 4HealthyPetsOnline.com. 4 Healthy Pets, 4 Healthy Pets.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Defend your vehicle from harmful elements and restore shine with Armor All Original Protectant. For a limited time, O'Reilly Auto Parts has a great deal on a 16-ounce bottle of Armor All Protectant for $4.99. Renew, revitalize, and protect your vehicle with Armor All Protectant. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's hard to feel lucky when your dishwasher breaks, or your dryer, or refrigerator. But maybe you should. Right now, the Home Depot has up to 25% off the high-quality brands you'd feel lucky to own, like GE, LG, and Samsung. So if you've got an appliance that needs replacing, this could be your lucky break. Get up to 25% off top appliances now, only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. U.S. only. While supplies last, see store for details, valid through August 22nd.
Rich Thomas Weather, a service of Wiley Sanders Trucking. Right now offering top pay of 45.5 cents per mile and quarterly and annual safe driving bonuses. Apply today at WileySanders.com.
Rich Thomas Weather.
Hi, everybody. Pretty routine summer day today. Partly sunny with scattered random hit or miss storms here and there. Most numerous this afternoon and this evening, fading out tonight, low 73. Tomorrow, the storms will be scarce. Not many around, rather isolated. High temperature in the middle 90s with triple-digit heat indices. Hottest day of the week tomorrow. The coverage on the storms is a little bit better on Thursday, more like 40%, and then storms become more likely Friday and Saturday. You can keep track of where the storms are and where they're going to be with our advanced interactive radar on our free weather app. It's waiting for you now in the App Store. Just search Rich Thomas Weather. Get it on your phone or tablet today. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
Alabama Wholesale Lumber, serving the River Region with the best quality building materials for decades. Contractor to do-it-yourselfer. Call Alabama Wholesale Lumber.
All the headlines the mainstream media won't touch. Your News Talk station. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Hold on to your butt.
I'm, of course, surprised that a story had such an immediate and profound effect upon radio listeners.
Hooey pleases the boobs a great deal more than sense.
Woe is us! We're in a lot of trouble!
In politics, man must learn to rise above principle.
What the hell are we doing here?
We are behaving the way a superpower ought to behave.
Well, our behavior has produced some crappy results.
What we're witnessing now is the failure of the state. It is a death struggle for our republic.
Giving voice to liberty in our time.
Joey Clark.
Wake up.
Oh, baby, now let's get down.
that time of the day. Well, when is it not? Folks, you're listening to the Joey Clark Radio Hour. In studio with me tonight, unfortunately, is not some buxom woman. It is a, well, fairly bald man. But a man I love. Not in the way this song suggests, but I love him nonetheless.
Yeah, and Joey, I had high hopes. I really had high hopes.
Yeah.
Until I saw you in that red dress.
Yeah.
No, it just didn't do it for me.
Didn't do it for you?
No, bro, it didn't do it for me.
I thought I looked good.
I mean, you look good, but it didn't do it for me.
For you. Yeah, okay, good. That's a good thing. If it did, I don't know if I'd want you in the studio up here playing this song late at night. But the older I get, the more this song speaks to me, man. Because, you know, the sexual healing stops being this, like, you know, status thing, this mysterious thing, a young man's game, and it becomes like this, it becomes healing. It does the body good. It's like medicine. And he's over here, folks, just shaking his head, looking down. I feel like I've upset 84 here. What's wrong, Southern Wood?
You haven't upset me. Have I ever told you I have a story about everything?
Yes, you have.
And you realize I do.
What's your story?
I had a wreck one night. I can't believe I'm fixing to say this. I actually almost killed myself one night.
Oh, damn.
I was driving home, I mean, I can reenact it for you. I reached in my shirt pocket, and I dipped snuff.
Yes.
And I pulled my can of Copenhagen out of my, and you know how you flip it? You pop it.
Yeah.
And when I popped it, it flipped over into my floorboard, and I had my hand on the steering wheel. And I reached over.
You just reacted.
Yeah. I just reached over to get my can, but I did not take my hand off. And when I did, it pulled me off the road. My truck turned upside down. I rolled my truck into a ditch. And I look up, and I'm like, holy crap. I mean, it crushed your hood. I, like, crawled out of the window that was busted.
Yeah, you very well could be dead.
And I was close to a friend of mine's house. I had just left their house, and I walked back up to Butterbean's house. I got a nickname for everybody.
Of course.
And I called my brother, and we came, and we pulled my truck over and drug it back to the house. It was close to where I live. And when I got home, that was the one thing I got home. And when I looked at my wife, I was like, baby, I said, I could have killed myself tonight. She's like, what were you doing? Are you drunk? And I was like, no, baby, I'm not drunk. I said, honest to goodness, I flipped my can, and it was late. We had been at a poker tournament. We had a poker tournament that night.
Right.
And when we got through, that's what we did. It was like, yeah, it was like, baby, I said, I could have lost you. You could have lost me. I said this, and when we came together as one,
man and wife. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, it really was. It's probably the most special time I ever spent with my wife, and because of a tragedy that brought that on. And this is not why I came up here to talk about.
Nothing like a brush with death to really make it hot.
But no, I mean, that's the only time I ever cried when I was with my wife.
Yeah.
I mean, I actually had tears, and she did. She says, I don't want to lose you. Yeah. But it was that, you know, we were, you know, that close. We were, you know, married together. I mean, we were put together. So,
Oh, wow. But
I don't know how we're going to top that. And we're only like 11 minutes past the hour, only really 5 minutes
golly,
into this show.
Molly.
How are we going to top that? I feel like I need a cigarette.
Now, I have a statement.
Okay.
Hold on. It's your show. You start it ever how you want.
You do have a statement. Well, you have a lot of statements.
I have a statement and a question for you.
Yeah, you have a lot
of
statements.
You love when I ask you these off-the-cuff questions that you have no clue what I'm talking about.
Yes, and folks, I'm preparing for the show today, and there are some... I want to tell you a story real quick, though.
Okay.
Because I saw this news story yesterday, and I just had to share it. A fire department in England, I don't know the exact neighborhood, but a fire brigade was called to rescue, because they're now doing this Green Watch thing, and that's the classic sort of Bedford Falls, Mayberry thing with a firefighter. There's not often a fire, and if there is, they'll put it out and risk their lives doing it. But, you know, you think of the firefighter as a hero who saves the cat, the kitten from the tree. He's a little too bold, gets stuck in the tree, doesn't know how to get back down. The big, you know, vascular fireman gets up there, saves it, all the women swoon. They really, I mean, are going, can I get some of that sexual healing from the firemen? And so you think that's what firemen do. So the idea that this, I think, London Fire Brigade, or a fire brigade in England, is saving animals as a Green Watch initiative. Okay, cool. But they get this call from a couple, says, I think our parrot or macaw is hurt because he's just sitting up on the roof of our home, and usually he'll come down or fly off or something, and he's fine, but he's been up there for like a while. We're really worried that he like hurt his wing or something. So the fire brigade respond to the call, and they tell the firefighters, the firemen, that you need to say, I love you to him, so he feels comfortable. And so they start that, and they say, I love you, and he squawks back, oh, I love you. And he's saying, I love you back. And as they're trying to coax him over, he stops saying, I love you. They're like, I love you, I love you. And he goes, you. The parrot goes on this, like, just profanity, like, it's just all over the place.
Well, parrots are like children. They only repeat what they have heard before. Anyhow, I don't want to get into that.
Anyway, I just saw that story yesterday, and I was very amused by it.
Is amusing.
But as I was preparing for tonight's show, I knew that I wanted to have a conversation with you, because in all honesty, I was feeling a little like I went a little too far in my weekend in New Orleans, and I was feeling a little guilty. I wanted to chat with a good friend, and I started that off by chatting with one of my oldest friends, Troy, last night. And you're now a newer friend, but it's going on a few years now.
We are great acquaintances, I would say.
Yeah,
I wouldn't say we're friends.
I'd say we're friendly.
Oh, very friendly.
But, yeah, I think the point is we don't rise to the level of like deep friendship, because we haven't like gone out of each other's way to like, you know, save one another. You wouldn't call me to like help you out of a ditch. I probably would, man. If you really actually ever had any issue, I would be there.
And that's why I say we're great acquaintances. I mean, I would do anything that you asked me to, but if you had a flat tire and you were on the side of I-85, I wouldn't be the first person that popped into your head.
Probably not.
Right. And that's fine.
Could. But we're friends in the sense that I knew I probably could call you and you'd show up.
Yeah, I mean, if you got to like the 17th person and nobody would show up, I would come do it. And
yes.
You know I would. And I know you would. And you would probably be like 35 on my list.
Right, well, because I'm, like, I'm not very good
Joey
with...
Joey can't change a tire.
I'm not good with tools. I'll call AAA for you.
But anyhow, you know...
So I'm preparing, and I just wanted to talk to a friend. I consider you a friend. So a good acquaintance. And I want to talk to you tonight, but then you sent me a text that would I be willing to play devil's advocate with you tonight?
Yeah.
For you.
Well,
and of course I'd be willing to play devil's advocate. I'm that good of a friend or acquaintance.
And that's why I like you so much.
Yeah. But you have so a question and a statement.
Uh-oh. Well, but see, Joey, that's the thing. We can disagree, and people, it's amazing that, you know, people say, oh, I can't believe you talked to that Joey's this and that and this and that. And then I have other people say, I can't believe you said that to Joey, this and that. It's like,
well, what do they say about me? I'm so interested.
Oh, they say, is his hair really that long?
Yeah,
is he really that gorgeous? And I'm like, yeah, he really is.
I'm not really gorgeous. I'm more cute. I'm like the type of cute that, like, women of a certain age like me.
You know, you're approaching sexy. The more the beard grows out, yeah. I mean, you're getting to this Johnny Depp deal.
No, with this soul patch especially, I can really grow it on the mustache and the soul patch once I learn trumpet, watch out.
Yeah, I mean, you don't have the real beard, but you got the little Johnny Depp.
Oh, yeah.
Pirate of the Caribbean is my
children. I like this line of conversation, yeah. Right. I'm sure people say negative things, too, though.
Oh, yeah, they do.
Oh, of course. Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't be myself if people didn't like me somewhat.
See, my brother keeps me in check, my baby brother. He's like, do you realize people think you're an idiot? I'm like, yeah, I'm sure they do. I really don't care.
Yeah.
But no, I saw this meme. And I had talked to a mutual friend of ours.
Okay.
Or acquaintance of ours.
Yes, a good acquaintance.
And I was thinking, what question? And I had come up with one, and I was like, well, I just don't know if that'll do it. But then after talking to her, I was like, hey, that's a pretty good question.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to preface it with this meme.
Okay, this is going to be quite the throat clearing, folks. I want to hear this meme.
Well, I mean, I just...
No, but it's good.
I have to put my glasses on. I'm getting old now, Joey. You'll get here one day.
Yeah.
And it really tickled me. It was a picture of... it was two ladies on the red carpet at the Oscars.
Okay.
And, you know, with your dresses cut all the
very
way down.
Very low back.
Oh, I mean, they had butt cleavage and front cleavage. I mean, you know, those type, you know, see-through, silky dresses and all that.
Double the cleavage, double the fun. Yeah.
And this was at the Oscars.
Okay.
And the meme said, if you don't want someone fiddling with your critters, don't leave the barn door open.
That is something I would never say myself, but I want to start saying it.
And that was from, it said from my grandma. Now, my grandmother, I never heard her say that.
Uh-huh.
But think about that. If you don't want somebody fiddling with your critters, don't leave the barn door open.
Sure.
And that made me...
Think about my weekend.
I sorry. Yeah, you had your barn door wide open.
Uh-huh.
I'm disappointed you didn't have yoga pants on up under your red dress.
I didn't need them.
Okay. You could have had yoga shorts on. Volleyball shorts.
I had normal shorts on.
No, we're not going to get into volleyball shorts.
I needed room for the wallet. Anyway.
So
if you don't want somebody to mess with your critters.
Fiddle with your critters.
You got to have the alliteration.
Yeah.
If you don't want somebody to fiddle with your critters.
Don't leave the barn door open.
Mm-hmm.
And
why? That's not alliteration. That would be fiddle with your fritters, but that's a whole other kitchen.
Yeah, we're not going to get into English class mm-hmm. here.
So if you don't want somebody to fiddle with your critters, don't leave the barn door open.
That's right. And then these are the same women that are, and I'm not picking on women, but these are the same women that have been coming out talking about, oh, I was used as a sex object.
Oh,
you know, this guy did this to me. This guy did that.
Sure.
Are women not somewhat responsible the way that they dress and the way they present themselves? Are they not responsible for how
people perceive them?
No, not people. Men.
Oh, men perceive them.
Perceive them.
Well, I'm glad you narrowed it down to men because women definitely perceive other women. I think they talk more smack than men talk about women.
And that's different.
That's a whole other different subject. We'll table that for later.
Well,
when we have some women here.
Sure. I mean, we can come back to that.
Yeah.
But are women not somewhat responsible when you have these women that are, and this is a little bit mm-hmm. of old news, accusing men of, you know, taking advantage of them and the casting couch, mm-hmm. quote-unquote, deal that they're doing. Are they not kind of setting that up? Because, look, if we're going to be honest,
okay,
in a conversation,
yeah,
sex is a driving force it in is. Your life.
Right.
And it can be A, strictly physical for the feeling of it.
Hmm.
It can be B, like we opened the show up with, it can be an emotional contact that you have with someone.
Electrically divine, yes.
There's two different ways that you can look at it.
Yes.
And the two can merge as well.
Hopefully they do. That's when it's the best. But, okay. Honestly, I would say yes. How you present yourself will affect the perception. How you present yourself as a woman will affect the perception of how men view you. That said, I can also see a woman, and I really can make this, and I do make this distinction these days. This is what I mean by getting older. Like, I could see a woman and go, man, she looks sexy today. But I don't really see her as some person I must, like, possess, or that's all she's about. Like, I think somebody can dress in a very sexy way, but that it doesn't really reduce them. I think in some ways it elevates them. And it doesn't necessarily have to elevate me in the process, if you catch my drift. I mean, I can see a girl who's like, looks great. I mean, you think about like family members. Like, be like, your aunt gets dressed up for the night on the town. And you go, she looks great tonight. There isn't, obviously, because she's your aunt, and I know we're here in Alabama, so the obvious jokes. You don't think, oh, I'm going to try to have sex with this person. You're going to go, oh, but that is, she's presenting herself in a very beautiful, sexy way, and good for her.
But,
and it's an empowering thing.
But what about when you get into, and maybe I'm wrong by seeing it this way. What about when you cross that line to where you're dressing
provocatively?
Provocatively.
Well, of course, we can settle on a standard of provocativeness.
We can't. We can sit here and hem-haw around the whole thing.
Yeah.
I mean, if you've got your boobs falling out of your top,
mm-hmm.
and you've got your dress slit from your ankles all the way up above your hip,
yeah.
and you can see your entire leg, why would a woman dress that way and then be upset if a man looked at her and said, wow, that's a good-looking woman, that's a good-looking piece of meat?
Oh,
animalistic yeah. part of us is going to think,
sure,
that is a gorgeous person, I won't.
But why would they be upset? Because, okay, I think there are several reasons. Some people are genuinely upset because they didn't want attention from that particular guy. And also, there are ways that men can go about things, some more creepy, some more aggressive than others. That it's like, hey, slow your roll. Even if you're just looking, there's leering and like staring, obviously. There's the slight glance. We all understand these things. Now, there might be people who are actually upset. That's what I'm coming to. That they wanted to present themselves in that way. This is just what I've gathered. And they weren't thinking, oh, no, now that I'm going to get catcalled everywhere I walk. Now, I've met other women who go, well, it comes with the territory. Fine. Now, there's other reasons to be upset. That you know what you're doing, but now I can be upset when he plays in to what I'm doing. And that's another form of power. It's like, I get to show off and play with this guy's mind and present myself as this sexy, powerful person, and if he mentions it at all, hell, I can get him. It's a whole other game that's going on, I think. Especially, I'm thinking of that because you're bringing up people who are dressed, you know, to the nines and showing a lot on the red carpet. And they're in movies where they're doing very sexy scenes. Now, I also think people are upset because, and this is why I wanted to bring up the standard of what is provocative, because I've had women tell me they'll go to the store after working out wearing, you know, normal workout clothes. They feel gross themselves. They feel sweaty. Like, they might feel good because they just got done with a workout. But then, like, every guy's freaking hitting on them at the grocery store. And I just want to get my groceries. I can see why they might be upset. They just want to go about their day. And they're not wearing anything provocative. That's why I wanted to bring up what's considered provocative. Because this is a trick men in history have played, and it's one of the most interesting things. There's not really, like, a good basis for why male dominance, so-called patriarchy, I'm not using it as a buzzword. Men, kind of at the top of society, running governments, running industry, running armies, and even all sorts of other aspects of life. And it's almost, throughout history, fairly universal, like, yeah, in a lot of different cultures. And when you look into it, it's like, why? Because, and there are a lot of different theories feminists have tried to come up with, men have tried to come up with, people who aren't feminists have tried to come up with, men and women. And it's like, well, why is this the case? And one of those theories is just pure dominance. Hear me out, because I don't want to just leave it hanging there in the world of theory. Saudi Arabia, they passed a law, said women can now drive.
Mm-hmm.
The government's trying to push this in Saudi Arabia. There are literally groups of men pushing back on this and harassing women for now driving. There are people that will shame women for showing, like, you showed too much of your ankle. That's too provocative. And I think there is a good argument that when men dictate how women should dress, because if you dress it a certain way, it's going to make me act in a certain way, it's a dangerous argument to make. Because I think, at the end of the day, and just speaking for Joey here, not for all men, because I obviously can't do that, I'm responsible for my actions. I can't blame somebody else for what I do. I can blame maybe somebody else for making me feel a certain way, but when it comes to action, yeah, I'm pretty much the one responsible for
that. Okay, all right. I dig that. But what is the purpose of Renee Zellweger, mm-hmm, or whomever, just insert sexy woman here?
Sure.
Wearing a dress that's cut down to her belly button in the back and up
to
her.
Be sexy.
Yeah. I mean, is that not desiring? Is that not trying to make you look at me, look at what all I've got?
Yeah.
Are they not responsible in any way when a man does react on that and just says, hey, you want to be in my movie? How do they get a pass?
I heard one. I want to get to the heart of it. I heard one distinction.
And I know it's easy. Here's the thing. It's easy for us to look at the creepy old-looking gray-headed dude and say, oh, on the couch with him? Yeah, that is creepy. He's a creep. No, he's not.
Right.
He offered her, and you are the biggest proponent of this.
Mm-hmm.
Just like drugs. If you want to use drugs, everybody use drugs,
sure.
Right?
Right.
Personal responsibility.
Yeah.
If you want to be in my movie, all you got to do is get on the couch.
Right.
Where's the difference between those two things?
Well, I think when somebody goes, if you want to be in my movie, get off the couch and do what I want. But there's also this idea of if she says no, it's not just going to be like, oh, you're not going to be in my movie. It's going to be, I'm going to go to everybody I know in this industry. I'm going to say that you're difficult to work with. I'm going to say that you're a terrible person. I will blackball you to where you can never act again. It's pretty domineering. It's not just a simple quid. If we're talking about Weinstein, it's not just a simple quid pro quo.
No,
he had a whole network of people to get away with this behavior.
Yeah.
He set up essentially an organization of people that was very powerful so he could do this.
But I'm going
back. It's pretty messed up.
I want to stick back to, if that be your reasoning, is I'm going to do this so that I don't get blackballed, why come out and dress like a hooker, basically? I mean, that's the way these women dress. We just have somehow in society, we have accepted the fact that you can be basically somewhat naked.
But the standards to me are weird to me.
For them.
Yeah.
But I mean, at certain events, is there a difference in an event? Is it like, take this for example, you go to the beach, I mean, women are walking around in bikinis. They're basically walking around in what would amount to a brassiere and their panties.
I was about to bring up the beach.
At the beach.
Doesn't mean
at
you
the
can
beach,
act in a,
that's
but it,
acceptable.
But it's at the beach.
If you saw that same woman walking through here, you know, during the day as a salesperson,
I would probably look and go,
would
what's
that
going
be
on
like,
there?
What the hell's going on?
I would look and go, that's awesome. And also, what the hell is that?
So what's the situation of the ethics that you apply to different situations?
Well, if that would be more, that's not really an ethical. I don't think that's more has to do just like cultural norms. Like if you're walking down downtown Montgomery, as opposed to Bourbon Street, where I just was, there's just generally how people think and carry themselves. And if you stick out like a sore thumb, that's what I mean by what's going on.
So therefore,
as opposed to a beach, I don't really see.
So if you act in a different way on a casting couch than you do in public, then it's the fault of the person that you were engaged in an activity with on the casting couch? You should expect that. If you're a gorgeous woman and you're in a bikini walking down the beach, you should expect guys to look at you as you walk by, correct?
So what guys do, yeah, for the most part. Well, not all guys.
Well, guys, girls, I mean, what have you. I mean, you should be like, dadgum. I mean, you should expect that, correct? So why should you not expect when you go into a casting room?
Because we're here to make a movie, not for me to do you sexual favors.
Oh no! See that's where not if you're going to portray yourself in that area.
No, I think women can portray themselves in a sexual manner, and that doesn't mean that they are then owed or they now owe somebody actual sexual acts.
I think they know what they're signing up for, though.
Some do.
Some, Joey.
Some do. Some also realize that if I don't do this, what happened?
Well, then that's when you get to a different. Are you willing to sell your soul to get to a point in your career where you want to get, or are you going to stand firm? And I would hope. I have three daughters, and I would hope if that situation ever came up with any one of them, that they would give the middle finger to them and say, if that's what it takes, I'm not doing it.
Well, but I want to get to this one distinction that I heard a while ago that I think will hit home for you, because you do have daughters. Say your daughter is going off to college, and there's going to be fraternity parties, there's going to be young kids probably getting intoxicated, and they're kind of on their own. They're not completely self-sustained yet. But, you know, college is the least amount of responsibility with the most amount of freedom. That's one way my uncle has put it, and he's probably right.
Yeah, for the most part.
Least amount of responsibility, most amount of freedom. And so you're saying to a daughter, before you go into one of these parties, don't put yourself in a terrible situation. By that, I mean, don't get blackout drunk. Don't take a cup from somebody that just hands it to you. It's terrible you have to even think about that, but that goes on in this world. And this is like a very similar to, like, this is a bad part of town, lock your car doors conversation.
Yeah.
And I think it's fine to say that preemptively. Don't put yourself in a bad situation. But imagine that same daughter comes to you and says, I think this happened to me at a party. I think somebody took advantage of me. God forbid I think somebody raped me. If the first thing you said was, well, you shouldn't have got blackout drunk, then you're an a-hole. I'm not saying you would. I'm saying at that point, it is all about, if this happened to you, especially if you're a father, I'll kill the guy. You know what I mean? So it's one thing to have the conversation beforehand of being safe in the world, in a dangerous world, because the world is dangerous, whether it's sex or anything else. The world's full of complications and dangers and evil, wicked, malevolent people. But if somebody is victim to that malevolence, I don't think we can always say you didn't defend yourself enough. I think sometimes we have to stomp out the evil.
I think you're right and wrong.
Yeah.
And I honestly, feeling-wise, I think you're completely right. But logically, you're not. I mean, that's what you're charged with. I mean, at some point, because Joey, it always goes back to Joey. It goes back to you have to be responsible for yourself and your actions. And if you're going to put yourself in that situation,
and this goes
and yeah,
but it goes both ways. Men have to be responsible for themselves, no matter how much they're driven to procreate. And I'm one of them.
And women have to be responsible for themselves when they put the meat out there on the table. Mm-hmm. I mean, they have got a medium rare ribeye sitting there.
Has it been dry aged?
With garlic, dry aged with garlic butter.
Basted in butter?
On top of
it. Does sound good.
And they sit it right in front of you, and you have not eaten all day. And they say, but you can't have a bite.
Yeah.
You know, go.
Have you ever been to a gentleman's club?
No. Yes.
You know how some of those...
I don't know. I don't know if it was a gentleman's club.
I mean, you can't get more hanging at that ribeye out there than that. And yet many of those clubs, the bouncer will whoop you if you touch.
I've never touched nor been whooped.
Some places allow you to touch. But a lot of places...
Never been to one of them.
I think most of the places will... It's wrong, even though it's all hanging out there. And I think if that's the standard in a place like that...
I don't... I think that's a moot argument. That's completely 100% different.
But why? If a guy is expected to control himself in that situation...
No, because...
Why can't a guy out in public where that's not even the expectation, you're just out in public, control himself then? I do think that as much as women put themselves out there, I don't think it, at the end of the day, it can affect perceptions. Actions, though, are the person's responsibility.
Negative. Because you know, if you're going to a strip club, you know what the rules are before you go in. The problem, what I'm talking about, is when a woman looks at you and gives you that eye, mm-hmm. and is like, come on over here, Joey.
Mm-hmm.
And you know the look. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm sure you've had it before.
Yeah.
And
I've had people, after giving me that look, say, I don't want to do anything. And it sucks, and it's disappointing.
Uh-huh.
But you stop.
I'm not, good God almighty, I'm not advocating rape, dude. You do stop. I mean, it's always no means no, period.
Yeah, and you can say that, you know, leading somebody on like that is it's not a nice thing to do.
But why in the hell do you leave the barn doors open if you don't want, if you don't want anybody messing with you, why would you dress like that? What is the purpose of it?
Well, because we left out a whole group of people in this conversation.
And who is that?
Other women. Other people who are holding up the social standards about how good you should look and what way should you look. And I think sometimes people like to test folks. Like, can you control yourself if I look this way? How do you act if I look in a provocative way?
And so, do you lose
your mind? Do you?
Great point. If you're doing it to test somebody, whose fault is it?
But you're kind of asking the wrong guy.
If I fail the test because you're dressed up like that, is it my fault or your fault? Did I fail the test or did you perfect the test question?
Well, I mean, it's all a test. Why am I hungry for some steak right now?
Because it's mid-rare ribeye, buddy.
Prime?
Dry-aged.
Or no, wait, is it Japanese Wagyu?
Hell yeah.
I like that fat. Well, I didn't expect to talk about this tonight. Yes, people are responsible for themselves.
Nor did I.
People are responsible for themselves. And responsibility when people interact is a two-way street. But there are different levels I think we can understand.
Oh, yeah, we can understand.
Different levels of action, what action should be called for. But we got to hit a break. We just talked for like 30-something minutes straight. You're listening to the Joey Clark Radio Hour. 84, a.k.a. Southern Wood, a.k.a. The Hammer, is in the studio. We'll be right back.
What I'm talking about.
Your News Talk place to be. The Dan Morris Show, noon till 3. Only on News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Hidden away at Wind Creek, Montgomery, is a special place known only to a few. A little speakeasy, so to speak. Slip on into Itabina, tucked away on the third floor above the casino. Enjoy a cool libation with a Delta twist. Then savor some gourmet Southern cuisine with a taste of Beale Street on the side. It's a dining experience you've only dreamed of. But remember, it's our little secret. Only at Wind Creek, Montgomery. Itabina.
You can count on a Subaru for the countless adventures ahead, because owning a Subaru means confidence now and down the road. Plus, Subaru vehicles hold their value better than any other brand for 2018, according to ALG. So come in during the Subaru Lot to Love event and head out on your first adventure. Now for a limited time, you'll get a great deal on the Subaru you love. Hurry in today. Visit Montgomery Subaru and get as low as 0% APR financing on select 2018 models. Offer ends September 4th.
ALG named Subaru the 2018 top mainstream brand for residual value. ALG is the industry benchmark for residual values. Appreciation data at www.alg.com.
Sweetheart, don't you just love eating out on the deck?
Yeah. Hey, would you pass the ketchup, please?
Oh, it's right in front of you, dear.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's so dark, I couldn't see it.
Spending time outdoors is a lot more fun when you can see what you're doing. The experts at Crosby Electric can illuminate your deck and your whole yard for greater enjoyment, safety, and security. Crosby can upgrade your interior lighting, too, for an exciting new look.
Can I get you some more coffee, dear?
Please.
Whoops! Hey, tripped over the extension cord to the kitchen.
While they're at it, Crosby can add receptacles on your deck or anywhere they're needed for safety and convenience.
Here's your coffee, hon.
Oh, it's cold. Oh.
Darn, must have tripped a breaker again. Maybe we should get my cousin Fred over here for some electrical work.
Isn't Fred the one who accidentally burned down his garage?
Yep, that's Fred.
I think I'll call Crosby Electric.
Don't put off electrical work that can make your life better and safer. Call 272-2085 or visit CrosbyElectric.com.
MontgomeryAreaHelpWanted.com presents The World's Worst Boss, the one who posts jobs on huge national job sites, looking for anyone with a pulse. We'll just call him Dave.
Dame, I recently learned that a good boss has to know how to delegate. What? That means I get to have other people do the things I don't want to do. So from now on, Tina, you'll be driving me to work. Bill, here's my laundry. Jack, talk to my wife when she calls. Remember, you have to pretend you're interested or she gets really mad.
Don't work for a Dave. Find a boss you can respect. One who's looking for great and local talent at MontgomeryAreaHelpWanted.com. Local jobs that work.
Hi, this is Carl Schmidt, naturopath and owner of The Herb Shop. Listen every Saturday at 11 a.m. to Winning Wellness and learn from experts in different fields of science and technology how nutritional supplements can help you. That's every Saturday at 11 a.m.
Rich Thomas Weather, a service of Alabama Heating and Air. One call does it all. Proudly serving the River Region. Call 334-669-6693. Alabama Heating and Air. Alabama licensee number 17022.
Rich Thomas Weather.
Hi, everybody. Pretty routine summer day today. Partly sunny with scattered random hit or miss storms here and there. Most numerous this afternoon and this evening. Fading out tonight. Low 73. Tomorrow, the storms will be scarce. Not many around. Rather isolated. High temperature in the middle 90s with triple digit heat indices. Hottest day of the week tomorrow. The coverage on the storms is a little bit better on Thursday. More like 40%. And then storms become more likely Friday and Saturday. You can keep track of where the storms are and where they're going to be with our advanced interactive radar on our free weather app. It's waiting for you now in the App Store. Just search Rich Thomas Weather. Get it on your phone or tablet today. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
This is Brian Carr of Benjamin Moore Paint, New Look Decorating. When it's time to make it new again, it's New Look, where we make it simple, you make it beautiful. Benjamin Moore Paint, New Look Decorating, 6237 Atlanta Highway.
We get Montgomery talking 24 hours a day. The River Region's most trusted voice. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Joey Clark.
Oh, welcome back to the Joey Clark Radio Hour. Alongside me this evening, 84.
Yes.
And I want to make something clear, 84, as we were talking off air. This show tonight, I have loved it. I live for shows like this, where it's like intense, passionate conversation, and we're kind of just taking on a topic that's out there that I don't think is easily solved.
No.
Number one, because it has to do so much with, like, where you are, like, the culture in a particular place, the who's saying what. There's a lot of social cues you have to pick up on.
And I think one reason discussions like this don't get solved is people won't be real about it and really put the facts out. You try to dance around every single thing and not say, oh, I don't want to say something politically incorrect, or I don't want to say something that would hurt somebody else's feelings. You got to understand, when God created us, he put a desire in us to have sex.
Okay.
And he put a desire in the male to actually go out and find a woman to do that with.
Yeah.
And you've got to, if you don't start at that point, then if you say that women and men are exactly the same, you can't even start the discussion or the conversation.
They're not exactly the same.
No.
But thank
we're
God
not. We have different parts.
Well, but thank God they have more in common.
And we have
different.
We also have different desires and different feelings and different things that we need for fulfillment.
But also, I also want to, and we're about to bring Trisha on. And Trisha, I want to make this last point as I'm bringing you on air.
Okay.
Whenever these, like, men-women discussions get going, and any type of group, this group, that group discussion gets going, it's like, yeah, it's never going to work, because I've met a lot of guys in my life. A lot of guys are pretty damn different. They have, I think, what we're talking about tonight in common. Then you meet a lot of women. A lot of women are pretty damn different, and they have different things. So it's tough to generalize the sexes.
Oh, it is.
But hey,
absolutely.
Trisha, how are you tonight?
I'm great. How are y'all?
Good. How are you doing, Trish?
I'm great.
I'm about to have my hands in some salmon croquettes.
Oh, yummy.
Yeah. And hopefully they'll taste good. I've never made these before, like I'm making them tonight. But I had to call in because I really don't understand why he said, of all the women in Hollywood, he could have said, when he was talking about sexy women, he said Renee Zellweger.
Thank
you. And I was like, whoa, wait a minute.
Thank you.
That is not sexy.
It was the elephant in the room.
Now, Trish, that was just the first name that came to my mind.
I mean, there's so many beautiful women in Hollywood, seriously.
And she's kind of, you know, she's not ugly, but she's, you know.
Definitely not.
I saw more good-looking women in New Orleans than Renee Zellweger.
I'm sure you did.
Just
probably
walking around Bourbon.
Men.
Probably. Yeah, certain sections
like
of Bourbon.
Women.
Yeah.
Trisha, you're killing me to death. You're killing me
I
to
am?
Death. Yes.
Okay. Well, there's a couple points I wanted to make besides that one. As a woman who has been sexually harassed, and I have had men who have been friends my whole life. I've worked with men, joked around with men. Never thought that would happen to me. It happened to me once, and when it happens, you always feel like it's your fault.
Mm.
What did I do to cause that? You know, what did I do? You know, what was I wearing? You know, why did he do that to me? You always blame yourself. So that's first. The second of all, the whole thing about Hollywood is sex sells. Those women are selling their image, to get roles. And, there's a lot of women in Hollywood that don't choose to sell their image that way. And I have some friends who are actresses. They're not in Hollywood, unfortunately, but they don't dress that way and put themselves out there like that because of who they are and, the fact that they choose to honor themselves in a different way than by showing their skin and selling their bodies. But I do understand why those women do that and the pressure that they're under to look great and sell, their roles, that way.
Right.
Because there's a lot of women vying for those roles. And Joey's right. We do dress a certain way to influence other women more than we do to influence you guys.
Really?
Actually got something right.
Yeah, he did.
Wow.
He did. And I think that's a good generalization to make. I think women dress for other women, not for men, for the most part.
No, in 84, to this point, Trisha, that, like, if somebody, is talking about their insecurities, if a woman is talking about their insecurities, half the time I didn't even notice that thing, which I know was something wrong, too. But, like, I didn't notice that aspect of your outfit. Like, I just see the whole thing. And it's like,
I
you
just
want to
make sure that you do notice it, if that's what they're saying.
Right.
So you know.
Yeah, because we really, honest, I'm telling you, Trisha, I'm telling you, we don't, as men, really know if you're supposed to have open-toed or closed-toed shoes on. I mean,
that's a bad generalization, because my husband knows what kind of shoes I should have on. If I'm not sure, I can go ask him, and he's going to be right on the money.
Well, on the construction site, closed toe.
Mr. Trisha is the exception to the rule, I guarantee you. Because every time I tell Lauren, she'll walk out with two shoes on, and she's like, left ones or right ones? And I'm like, I don't care. Left. And she always comes out and she'll have the other ones on. I'm like, why do you even ask me? I mean, I don't even care.
It was a test.
And sometimes she forgets.
To see if you noticed that she had feet.
Well, and sometimes she... Yes, Trisha, be ugly. Yeah.
I'm not
She
ugly.
Has left the house with two different shoes on before, too, trying to decide which shoe to put on. I have never done that once in my life.
Oh, gosh. Oh, no, I messed that up. But that's what I wanted to add.
Okay, well, thank you
so much. I just messed up my tartar sauce. I have to figure out how to fix this.
Well,
all right.
Good luck with the salmon croquettes.
Yeah, I'll have to tell you tomorrow how they turn out.
It's salmon.
I'm enjoying the show.
There's
salmon.
No, they're not, Yankee. Go
Bye.
Back to Philly.
All right.
Later. Bye.
Why is there an L in there if you're not supposed to pronounce it, is what I want to know.
Because sometimes language is tricky.
I ate my entire life. My mother always made salmon croquettes.
Salmon.
Salmon. I guess if they're in croquettes, they're salmon.
Yeah. I always heard of salmon, but half my family's from New Jersey.
And I was like, salmon?
Well, they're Air Force, so they've been all over the damn place.
What happened to the ale? It's salmon.
Yeah. No, there are words like that. And they're like silent Ks. Like the old Cat Williams. Remember this one? Where it's like, what is it with letters? I can't really do a great Cat Williams impersonation, but the teacher told me to spell out the words. So I thought about my phonics, and she told me to spell knife. So I smelled that mother out. N-I-F-E. He goes, no. What do you mean, no? K-N-I-F-E. K? So I cut her with a spoon. Yeah, the K's silent. What is with the silent K?
I don't know. The English language is extremely difficult.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah, not as tough as Chinese, thank God.
Oh, no. Well, the only, I guess the only other one is worse is the, what's the African one where they...
Well, that's a whole other... That's probably more difficult to speak.
I mean, how do you spell...
I don't know. There might be something.
I mean, what is the phonetical spelling of...
I am not a linguist, sir. I really don't know. And it gets so complicated. And I hope what people understand, and what I try to do, is like what we've been doing tonight. It only works if you have a conversation. There's too much of, ha, gotcha.
Right.
I got you in a corner, and I win, and you're a bad person.
Oh, yeah. And that's
too much of that crap.
And that's what drives me crazy, and that's why I think that you and I do really get along so well together.
Yeah.
I mean, we're putting on a little bit tonight, just taking two sides of an argument that we probably can go either way. We could probably argue either side mm-hmm. of it. It's like debate.
Yeah.
You know, just pick a side and go. And but the one thing that really drives me crazy is when somebody is hypocritical.
Yes.
You know, and they just absolutely just go crazy.
They try to have it both ways.
About,
yeah.
Just say like, I mean, just pick any topic. Right here in Alabama, we're having all this crap about the opioid addiction.
Yeah.
You know, I dislocated my collarbones, both of them.
Ow.
At the sternum.
At the same time?
Yes, it was.
Ow.
It was.
Was it when you flipped your truck?
No, this was like July 4th. This was like 6 weeks ago, five
Ow.
Weeks ago. It was extremely painful.
I'd imagine so.
And I went and got x-rayed, make sure nothing was broken, and it wasn't. It was just, I had been, the doctor actually used the term dislodged. And I don't know if that's worse than dislocated or what. He said, you dislodged your collarbone at your sternum. And I'm like, that doesn't sound good. He says, oh, no. He said, this is going to hurt like, you know what, for a long time. And
so anyway, you're in a lot of pain.
And he discharged me. He gave me some anti-inflammatories and this and that. And as I was walking out, I said, did you give me any pain pills? And I don't take pain pills. I've had four knee operations, never taken a pain pill for him. I said, Doc, I said, I'm hurting. I said, I did not go to work today. He's like, well, you'll be all right in a couple of days. You can go back. You write with your right hand. I said, man, I do air conditioning work. I use both hands. I said, the writing ain't the problem. And he says, well, I can give you some pain medication if you need some. I was like, yeah. That's mm-hmm. kind of why I came up here. I didn't sleep all night last night. I mean, went through the whole spiel. And he's like, okay. And he gave me like five pills.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay. And the doctors are scared to death. And then I don't know. I'm getting way
yeah, well,
off.
We're out of time. But no, and it comes back
different
to personal.
Different subject for a different day.
Well, it does come back to personal responsibility. And I was talking off mic, actually, with Dan, that I think I've met enough people in my life, people that have died from this stuff, people who are addicted and got over it with help. There's, I think, a lack of thinking of this in an individualized way and personal responsibility. How can we help people in an individualized way? And do they want to be helped? Instead of making it kind of like, the authority will solve this.
But
and save you from the bad men.
Yeah, because all dope is bad, unless I need it.
Yeah. So, that is a whole other ball of wax.
Yeah. Next show.
If you don't want somebody to fiddle with your critters, don't leave the barn door open. Well, it's been the Joey Clark Radio Hour. Thank you all for listening. I'll be back tomorrow night.